and thank you for tuning into the Stuff I Heard podcast. I'm your host, Joshua Peak, and I have my wife with me today, mainly because she's been gone and I missed her, and she's missed me, and now she wants to like talk and stuff. But she doesn't want to be on camera. So if you're watching this on YouTube, you're like, where is she? I don't see her. She's hidden in a secret room in a faraway place.
No, I'm right here.
She's locked up.
I'm right here.
She can't move. I got her duct taped to the chair.
No, not at all.
No? So you just took an adventure trip.
I did. I went to Cincinnati, Ohio.
Cincinnati.
And let me tell you one thing. It was cold. It was very cold. Which, actually, we're experiencing some extremely colder than normal temperatures right now for South Carolina.
Yeah.
But it is nothing like it is in Cincinnati, Ohio.
So you said to get to Cincinnati, you actually had to fly into Kentucky, right?
Yeah. The Cincinnati, Kentucky airport is right over the Kentucky line.
Okay.
And first time I'd ever flown in there. Really nice airport, I will have to say. Super nice airport. And sorry, you're messing with my...
It's making noise.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Super nice airport, easy to navigate. Had trams to go to the different gates, which to me is great. It keeps you from having to walk 40 miles to get to a different gate. I actually flew out of Florence here for the first time in several years. We have not flown out of Florence in a while because they just don't offer... They don't have a lot of options to choose from. You either fly early morning or very late at night, and the price is usually not conducive because it's so much more expensive. But for this particular trip, I was traveling for work, going up to a logistics meeting, and it worked out to only be like $115 more to fly out of Florence. And by the time you looked at the parking versus my drive time, mileage on my vehicle that they would have had to reimburse me for, it was well worth the extra $115. And it made things a lot easier because you were able to take me to the airport, didn't have to leave a vehicle there, and you were able to pick me up.
Yeah.
Like I say, great trip up. I went up on a Tuesday. We were actually closed for the holiday, the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. So we were closed last Monday, and then I flew up on Tuesday. And like I say, everything went extremely well, easy to navigate. Picked up a rental car, and being from the little small town of South Georgia and now living in Florence, South Carolina, Cincinnati is a much, much bigger city. And but it's very pretty. One of the things I noticed is it's definitely a town I would love for us to go to when the weather's nice. Where our logistics center is located is right downtown Cincinnati, which is right on the Cincinnati River that runs right there. I don't know. You might have to look that up to make sure I'm being given on it good facts on that. But I was right downtown. As a matter of fact, I could look out my bedroom window of the hotel I was staying in, and I could see where the Cincinnati Reds play.
Mm-hmm. That's the Ohio River.
Yeah. I could see where the Cincinnati Reds play. I did look on the map enough to know that they have a baseball Hall of Fame there, museum.
Oh.
And is it the Cincinnati Bengals?
Yeah, the Bengals.
The Bengals. Right there. They play, their stadium is just down from the Reds. I couldn't actually see their stadium from my hotel room, but I did pass that when I was coming into town from the airport. But the airport is over in the Kentucky, right over the Kentucky line. And it was, I don't know, less than 20 miles from the airport to my hotel room. Easy to navigate, used my maps, and made it to the really pretty downtown historic district where I stayed. And it just so happened that I was fortunate enough to be able to get a hotel that was very close to the logistics center, which is actually located right on the river. And I was able to walk to my classes every day, which came in very handy. When the first day we were in the single digits, the first day I had to walk to work, walk to the meetings, it was 8 degrees. That's definitely cold for somebody who is, I'm sure that's cold for anybody, period.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about a southern gal that's never lived or experienced snow, or it did not snow until later, that's extremely cold to be outside walking. I did not understand that. I mean, there's a reason they use scarves and they use gloves and they use hats. Did not plan for that. I did take some gloves, but you know, a lot of the locals were saying, oh, sweetie, you need to cover up your neck and you need to cover up your head.
Yeah.
So I will have to say that very first day walking across a block or so over to the meeting, my face was extremely numb by the time I got into the building.
Yeah. Imagine just a short period of time, you'd probably get wind blistered.
I would think so. Yes. Yeah. I would think so.
Which is probably why everybody says cover your neck and cover your head.
But I will have to say everybody, the people that I come in contact with at the hotel, the airport, the rental car, everybody was just super, super nice. I mean, I had no issues at all. I did go to the local Kroger to pick up a few groceries because my room, I was fortunate enough to have a room with a little kitchen in it. So we had two nights. We didn't have any dinner plans. And, you know, not being familiar with the area and being alone, I didn't want to venture out too far. So that helped. And it was easy to navigate.
Cool.
Did try to get to a couple of blocks one morning in the car, and there's a lot of one-way streets, and we don't have those here. I mean, you know, there's...
Yeah. You kind of have to go to Charleston to see that around here.
Yes, and I'm not sure what was going on with my little GPS lady that day, but she was not cooperating with me, and it didn't work out well. Yeah. I spent 30 minutes in the car driving around the first morning. Thank goodness I left my room a good, almost an hour before the meeting was supposed to start, because I wanted to get over there, get set up with my laptop. And I drove around for probably 30 minutes, just round in circles, realizing as I went closer to the stadiums that, okay, you're going away from where you're supposed to be. But I made it back to the hotel, walked in, and, you know, the bellhop, I guess, you know, the guy that parks the cars, and the valet and the lady behind the desk had just seen me a few minutes prior to that on the way out the door, all chipper and ready to go to my first meeting. And when I walked back in the door, I must have had a very defeated deer in the headlights look on my face, because both of them were extremely helpful with, you know, okay, tell us where you need to go, and we will help you. And, you know, the valet walked me outside and he was like, let me look at this address. And he was like, do you by any chance work for Nucor? And I was like, yes, sir. And he was like, you see that flag on the top of that building right there? That's you. And, you know, I could have kicked myself then for realizing how close I was. And I just, anyway, it is what it is. I made it. And the rest of the time I left the car parked and I walked.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, trips like that are designed in a way to help you learn and help you grow. And it's good to get outside your comfort zone once in a while so that you can learn more about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, when you told me it was 8 degrees, I said, where are the other numbers? You're like, that's it. It's eight.
It's eight.
I was like, bye.
You know, 8 degrees and the wind. I was not prepared for the way the wind blows there. I don't know if it's because of the river or I'm not sure. I just know that the wind, with the wind chill, and the wind was definitely blowing extremely hard that first day. It said that the wind chill, with the wind chill factor, it was like -6.
Yeesh.
And yeah, I could tell you that it felt every last single bit of that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you always see stuff about Chicago being called the Windy City.
I don't think Cincinnati is called that, and I can't imagine what the Windy City would be like if Cincinnati was that way.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of that has to do with not only the Arctic air blowing down through the Midwest like that, but also the river.
Yeah.
Getting that moisture and that wind from the river, and there's no trees to really block it. But then you get that effect with the buildings too, that it sort of tunnels in between the buildings. So if you catch it just right, it's all of a sudden like, whoa, you know, and it's just a culmination of all the wind getting pushed in certain directions where it really gets you.
And where our building where the meetings were taking place was actually would have been easy. There's a park like it right in front of the actual hotel that I stayed in, a really pretty park. And I'm not sure if it's a dog park or if it's just a regular, but they were doing work on it. So they had it completely fenced off. Had it not been for that fence, it would have, it made the walk a little bit more. Now don't get me wrong. The walk was not bad at all. I would have preferred warmer temperatures, of course, but it would have been an easier route, direct route, had that park not been closed off. But, first few days, everything was great, other than the fact that it was just cold. My hotel was beautiful, older historic building that Residence Inn Marriott owns. And like I say, staff was completely amazing. Had a beautiful one-bedroom suite with a kitchen and everything, and very pretty. I was on the sixth floor of like maybe 8 or 10. And
yeah, was it downtown Cincinnati Phelps?
Yes, that
the
was
Phelps.
Yes, that was the hotel I was in.
Oh, it's pretty.
Like I say, very pretty, very pretty. They do have a rooftop bar. It's closed right now for the season, of course. You would only imagine it would be with these temperatures. Had a restaurant inside the hotel that made it very convenient, you know, continental breakfast, in the mornings, that was all great. Like I say, extremely nice staff.
Yeah.
So that part of it, it was a great trip whenever you, considering the fact that I was very uncomfortable and unfamiliar with the area and the temperatures, it definitely could have been a lot worse. As the week went on, we did get some snow. And that's the part that scared me. We don't get snow here in South Carolina very often. If we do, it is a very small amount, and we usually close down everything until the snow melts. And we've not seen snow here. I was trying to think, when's the last time that it snowed here in Florence?
It's been a few years ago.
It's been several years.
Yeah.
It's been more. I think it's been more than 3 years.
I think the last time it snowed, we saw it, and then it was gone by the afternoon.
Yeah, that's what I told the people that I was coming in contact with at the hotel. They just thought it was comical that I'd, asked the question of, can I walk on it to get the last morning we woke up, and there was a good bit of snow on the ground. I have no idea how much. But to me, anything more than a lot dusting is a lot of snow, and I'm very unfamiliar with it.
There was a museum within walking distance.
Yes. Which museum? Is that the...
The Taft?
Yes, the Taft. I passed it actually every day going to my office.
And then there's the Lytle Park Hotel.
That is beautiful. I actually walked the very first day. I walked through their parking lot, and this is a very high dollar. A lot of the people that are employed at our logistics center say that that's the hotel where when athletes come to town... And celebrities, they stay at that hotel. And when you Google that area, that hotel does pop up, and it's a very, very pricey. It's beautiful.
It looks swanky.
It is very swanky. They had two valets standing outside, two bellmen standing outside. The morning that it was 8 degrees, these two gentlemen were standing outside in front of this hotel. That was the morning that the first time I walked to the hotel, to the meeting myself, and I wasn't really sure how to get from point A to point B because part of the park was closed. So I walked up to these two gentlemen at this bell stand and asked them, and they took me right in to this hotel, walked me all the way through, and they were like, we'll just take you through the hotel. It's warm in here. I guess they could see that I was freezing to death. And they walked me straight through the hotel out the back. And when we got to the back entrance of the hotel, they were like, there's your building right there. So, like I say, extremely helpful. Everybody was super, super nice.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things to do nearby that look really neat.
And the hotel that I stayed at was beautiful and very inexpensive. I want to say you have all the county fees and the different taxes that they tack on. But still, the hotel I stayed at was probably around maybe $160 a night. And that was for a full one-bedroom suite with a full living room, kitchen, two massive televisions. It was beautiful.
The Residence Inn.
Yes, I would go back there. I would hands down go back there.
Yeah, it says if I book right now, it's $140 right now.
Like I say, it was not super expensive at all.
Yeah.
Especially for where I needed it to be. And even if you went down there as a tourist, you are very close. I mean, you could walk to a Reds game.
Yeah.
And that would be awesome to be able to walk to a Reds game, and then when the game's over, just walk back to your hotel.
Well, you can see that the Reds stadium is within eye shot.
Yes.
And then the Bengals stadium is right down the road.
In nice weather, walking distance.
Cool.
I mean, there were several places that people that live there that work at our logistics center was telling us about. They took us to a really nice... It was on Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, a restaurant that that Guy Fieri had actually done an episode at. That's where we had one of our dinners. And it was only like 12 blocks from the logistics center.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the people that worked there were saying, normally, under normal weather circumstances, we would just all walk. But, you know, whenever it's 8 degrees, you don't necessarily want to walk that far in that kind of weather.
So I'm looking here at Google Maps, and you're not far from 471 across a bridge called the Daniel Carter Bridge. But I just happened to look at names, and there's a bridge right next to it called the Purple People Bridge. That's a little unusual. But there's also, like, very near to where you were staying is the Procter & Gamble's company, and they have a Procter & Gamble Park. It looks really big on the map. It's like three separate lawn areas surrounded by these beautiful topiary trees. But yeah, cool. Neat area.
Well, the building that houses our logistics center used to be the it's DJ Joseph or David J. Joseph. It was the building was actually owned by a recycling company. And they used this building as their corporate office. And Nucor, being in the industry that we're in, and they're very diversified, they decided to buy this recycling company. So it is now owned by Nucor. And Nucor, with the purchase of that company, got this building. And a couple of years ago, they decided to move our logistics offices from Memphis, Tennessee, where they were in a building that they did not own, to Cincinnati, because they owned this building with the purchase of that company. So it's very nice. It houses our logistics center, all of our logistics people, and it has a cafeteria, very nice cafeteria. Like I say, everybody that I come in contact with was super nice. So it was a great. I don't mind traveling for work. Yeah. It's part of it. I have the luxury of not having children at home, so I don't have to schedule around any of that. So in all reality, I'm probably easier to send to some of these meetings than some people that I work with, which is not a problem. I will have to say I would definitely prefer to do it when it's a little bit warmer weather. But
or now that you know what the weather's like, yes, you could be a little bit
prepared. A little more prepared. And I will have to say the snow was very pretty. It was extremely stressful for a few minutes, trying to think through the scenario of how was I going to drive myself and the rental car back to the airport. And I'm sure that I would have been able to figure it out. But in all reality, I probably would have been more danger to people on the road because I didn't know. The roads looked great. I mean, I have no idea what to compare it to because we don't live there. Here, that's why we shut down. We don't get it that often. We don't know how to deal with it. They, on the other hand, you could tell what traffic was out there was moving a lot slower, and they were being very respectful. It looked to me like the roads were in fantastic shape. I was fortunate enough, and I'm extremely thankful that somebody in my group was Ubering, and he is very familiar with driving in the snow, and he was like, hey, I've got to get a ride back to the airport anyway. How about I just drive your car and you and me back to the airport? Which, you know, I could have just hugged him right there because that definitely made me feel 100% better. He didn't struggle at all. I mean, this guy, you could tell he knew exactly what he was doing. And we got safe and sound back to the airport. The good thing is my flight did get delayed a little bit, but it was nothing, thank goodness, that messed up my connecting flight. So I flew from Cincinnati back into Charlotte. Got delayed a couple of times, but I guess with Cincinnati being one of the airports that deal with snow from time to time, they are definitely better equipped to do it than Charlotte.
Yeah.
Because we don't get snow that often. You know, the Charlotte airport seems to have a tendency to just go freaking crazy when we have snow, where Cincinnati, I mean, it's like you couldn't even tell. I mean, the people were all the same. And they were pushing flights back like 20 minutes at a time instead of multiple hours at a time like Charlotte does, or completely shuts down. Mm. There was snow everywhere whenever you looked out the window of the plane. But I say, thank goodness I only got delayed a couple times and it did not mess up my connecting flight. So I was thankful for that.
Yeah.
Got back to Charlotte on time. Well, I mean late, but got there in plenty of time for my connecting and got back to Florence with no issues.
Okay. Well, and you also said that going through the Charlotte airport, they've done some expansion.
They've
on
really
the,
done a
the
lot
E
of work.
Terminal.
Yes, the last time you and I flew into there, and I don't really remember when it was. it's been a while, or maybe I flew into there last year sometime. But yeah, they've been doing a lot of, yeah, I flew out of there early last year when I went to Milwaukee for work. Mm-hmm. A lot of construction going on still at Charlotte. But one of the things that I noticed is they've added all of the E-gates. I mean, they added a whole new section, a whole new wing, I guess you would call it, that is the E-gates now. We are familiar with the E-gates because when we fly in and out of Charlotte from Florence, we go out on the tarmac to get on a small plane,
yeah,
and then we exit off of the plane onto the tarmac and into the building, which was at the end of one of the existing gate areas, and it was not very big. Well, they've added a whole section now that is the new E-gates in Charlotte.
Did they still have you on the tarmac, or did they?
They do still have you on the tarmac, okay. Yes. But it is, it's beautiful. Yeah. It's absolutely beautiful. More food options, more restrooms, more seating, because they didn't have, that was not done very well.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's because they just gradually added on more and more flights from some of these smaller,
yeah,
smaller,
well, it's temporary,
regional airports, which is regional. What Florence is.
Yeah.
And I think
we would see stuff like Wilmington and Florence, yes, and just little airports around Jacksonville,
yeah,
you know, Edisto, that kind of thing. But yep, it was all people just getting into there to make their bigger connecting,
yes,
flights.
Yes. And yeah,
that's good to know that they've updated that, because, I mean, for the longest time, it was you had to get what you had to get in the middle section. And then you're just, all right, now I'm going to go walk this way for 40 minutes and,
yeah,
not see anything.
Yeah, they've done a really good job of that. I'm not sure how much more expansion they are doing at the Charlotte airport. I do believe Charlotte is, you know, in close rival with Atlanta. I think, you know,
they're an international now.
Yes, as it continues to grow, you're going to see that area. You know, I think they're bringing in, I'd heard somebody say, I'm not really sure where we were at, that they're bringing in some of the
Qantas,
some of the much, much
and
bigger
Emirates.
Yeah, much of the,
yeah,
some much bigger international flights.
Yeah.
Which is good. Like I say,
yeah,
it's aggravating when it's being, when the work is going on, but once they open stuff up, it's really nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did get to experience that also.
Yeah. I was trying to remember when we flew out of there, but I really can't.
I can't remember. Like I say, I flew out of there last year but I drove up. I drove up from here to Charlotte and caught a flight direct from Charlotte to Milwaukee last year. And it definitely was not open then. I want to say some friends of ours that fly regularly say that you can tell. It's very obvious they have not been open long.
Yeah.
Everything still has the really, really new look to it. And they've made it a lot nicer.
The people that you met in Ohio, did you tell all of them you had friends from Ohio?
I did tell several. Yeah, I asked one of the guys from one of our divisions that was there. He had drove in. I want to say he said that he took him like 3.5 hours to drive in because of traffic. He really wasn't, but about an hour and a half away from the logistics center as far as mileage goes. But because of traffic, it delayed him with traffic. But yeah, I made a comment that we had friends that were from Coshocton. And that they had a daughter and son-in-law and grandson that lives in Cleveland. This was the morning that it was snowing. We were sitting there in class and you could just see it. I mean, it was coming down pretty hard compared to what I've seen.
Yeah.
Here, when we get a lot of dusting, you get flurries and then you wake up the next morning and there's a little bit of snow on the ground. Here, it was coming down pretty hard.
Buckets.
Yes, it was very, very obvious that it was snowing. You didn't have to walk outside to check. You could see from the window. And we were talking about it, and I said something about having friends that had kids that lived in Cleveland, and they said that Cleveland was getting hit pretty hard because of the lake effect.
Mm-hmm.
And we then found out from our friend that, yeah, her daughter got, what was it, 9 or 10 inches of snow
mm-hmm.
in one day.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that, you know, that's a good bit of snow.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've always wondered what it would be like to live in an area like that, but I guess having my dad live in Maine for so long and show YouTube videos of what it was like to have to plow snow all the time to do anything, I was like, yeah, I think this is close enough for me to see it on YouTube and
most
be
definitely.
Like, that looks awful.
And I mean, this was nothing like, I've seen some TikTok videos recently. Matter of fact, last night was the first time I've looked at TikTok in a while. It looks like the Buffalo, New York area has been hit really hard.
Yep.
I was totally blown away with how much snow.
They always get hit hard. It is that lake effect snow where all that humidity and accumulation from the lake and the wind just they get snow drifts that are, you know, 20 feet tall sometimes against buildings. But, you know, it's just it's amazing. I mean, what was it, last weekend the Bills were in the playoffs against the Steelers, and they were supposed to play on a certain day, and they said, well, we're going to postpone a few days to let this kind of die off and maybe we can clean this up. And they were showing like a camera from the field, and you couldn't see anything.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't see nothing. And I kind of joked around. I was like, look, there's Josh Allen out running laps. And they're like, really, where? I was like, I'm just kidding. There's nobody out there. Can't see anything if it was.
Yeah, this video I was watching was a woman trying to walk around in her yard, and it was up to her hips. Yeah, that's how deep it was when she stepped off of what normally would have been her porch.
Yeah, that's a different level of survival right there. Yeah.
And
of course, they would say the same thing about coming down here in the summertime.
Probably, yes.
They'd be like, how do you breathe?
Probably, yeah, because I had that discussion with the really nice lady behind the counter at the hotel, and she was like, I've been thinking about relocating and south, and of course, that's what everybody's doing. But I was like, you know, no, you don't get this weather, but you need to be ready to handle 100 degrees
all the time
and humidity that will make you feel like you are literally swimming in the humidity, in the thickness of the air.
Yeah.
So there is a huge difference. You've got to be willing to know that you may not be dealing with snow anymore, but you're going to deal with the heat and the humidity.
Oh, yeah.
So
you're happy to be home now?
I am happy to be home. Yes.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you home.
And I'm glad to know that my next trip, I don't think I'm, you know, knock on wood, unless work sends me somewhere else, not flying again until April. April, we're going to Jamaica, and I'm hoping that the weather will be much nicer then.
Well, Danny and I were talking about it yesterday, and I said, you know, April is the rainy season.
Rainy season in Jamaica.
He was like, what?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, we got married in April in Jamaica, and they go, oh, you got here in rainy season. We're like, what?
Yeah.
He goes, so we could just be rained out the whole time? I was like, no.
Not the whole time, but it's going to rain every day.
Every day, but maybe for an hour or 30 minutes here and there, but it'll be fine.
Yeah. The good thing is we'll leave here, hopefully, where it's a little bit cooler because it's early spring here. And when you get down there, it is extremely warm.
Mm-hmm.
So, but
we say all that saying, you know, how it'll be cooler here, but next weekend it's going to be warm.
I know.
We have the heat on today. We got the gas logs on. Next weekend we'll have the air conditioner on. We're like, oh my God, it's going to get hot.
Yeah. I think it's supposed to be close to 70 next Saturday?
76.
No, not that warm, really.
Did they change it?
I'm not sure. I don't have my phone with me.
I think they had it at 76 next Saturday.
I don't think it's supposed to be quite that warm. But that's a huge, huge difference in temperature.
74.
So it's usually a little bit hotter than that. So yeah, you're probably
Thursday
right.
Thursday and Friday.
And look at the rain.
Yeah.
The rain's coming in, bringing in some warmer weather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I'll take that any day over what I just came from.
Well, and I like to have you here because I'm selfish and I like to hang out with you and talk to you.
Well, I want to experience new places, but I also want it to be where I can actually get out and enjoy it.
Yeah.
At 8-degree temperature is, can't really enjoy a whole lot at 8 degrees.
Well, either that or you grow a thicker skin.
I guess.
You get more acclimatized, I guess.
You definitely wear a scarf and a hat. I learned that.
Scarf and a hat. Yeah.
Anytime they send me up north again during this time of the year, I'm packing those things for sure. But yeah, glad to be home. But it was a great trip.
Would you have probably worn different clothes other than the scarf and the?
No, not necessarily because you are indoors. So
what about footwear?
No, actually, I did think that one through, and I took a pair of like boots, you know, ladies' boots that zip up on the calf, and they were. I'm not sure. I wouldn't say plastic they were not suede. They were very water repellent. So okay. That helped. I will have to say that the choice that I made for shoes was, I did not regret that choice at all. I did good there.
I know because we were talking about maybe doing duck boots, perhaps, because of the water.
And that would have been fine. I saw several people with those kind of shoes on. It would have, would definitely not have been like a, let's just say, for instance, a pair of Hey Dudes, which I don't wear those, but that would have not been conducive for this kind of weather.
Yeah.
Because the last day when it did snow, the snow was deep enough that when you walked in it, it did cover your shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So your foot would have definitely gotten wet if you had on a canvas or cloth type shoe. with a sole on the bottom. So I did okay there. I never had any issues at all with my feet getting wet or being cold. And, you know, our friend Lori, who's from up there, you know, she was like, you're not going to be out in it all the time. You're going to be indoor in classes and you're going to be indoors at your hotel. And she was extreme. Yeah, that was right. I dressed normal. I layered a little bit different in the sense that I wore, you know, a little bit of underclothes that I normally wouldn't wear, like, you know, a camisole type thing that sticks to your skin that here would make me a lot hotter indoors. There, I was comfortable. Mm-hmm. The only thing is the fact that I did not think about a toboggan, a toboggan or a coat with a hood so that I could cover my head up. That was the only thing. And thankfully I didn't have to walk far enough that it was a huge issue. But looking back, when I do make a trip like that again during this time of the year, I will plan for a coat with a hood or a toboggan top hat.
Beanie.
Yes. And I noticed
a lot of terms for it.
Yes.
There's a difference when you talk to people about what they wear on their head.
Yeah.
Some people call it a knit cap. Some people, just depending on you. Because I've had conversations with people. I'm like, yeah, I wore a beanie. And they're like, what? A toboggan. A what?
Yeah. There was a lot of people in our class that when they would come in bundled up, they would have one of those on and they would just pull it off. I did not plan for that because here we don't need that very often, if any.
We get Dad to send you one of those mane hats that's got the flaps on the side.
I did see a couple of people with those on too.
Just keep your head warm.
Yeah, most definitely.
Let the flaps down. You're like, this is stupid. And then you're like, oh no, this saves you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, but like I say, good trip. Learned lots. That's the main thing. That's why they sent me there.
I'm glad you got to go and got to learn and got to meet people and network and all that fun stuff and experience a little bit of the cold and glad to have you home.
So. I'm glad I live in South Carolina.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly fine with the fact that I don't see snow. We don't see snow that often.
Yeah. It's within traveling distance.
Yes. Yeah. Most definitely. Okay. You know, we've got a couple, like I say, we've only got one other trip planned for this year, which is our
so far
Jamaica trip. Yeah. Trying to make some decisions on some more travel this year.
Maybe.
Just got to decide what to do.
Maybe. I don't know. We'll
where
see.
To do it.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
But everything's
kind of
been
the
going?
Beginning of the year. So it's kind of like.
Yes, but also too, I'm a planner. I like to plan.
I know.
I like to have a plan. I like to have my vacation on the schedule at work.
I mean, we're going to Atlanta for a wedding.
That's in May.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I would love to try to plan that if possible with maybe the Braves playing.
Yeah.
Maybe. Never seen the Braves play. I've never seen a professional baseball game. So I would love to do that. They say that I'm not sure what the name of that park is where the Braves play, but they say it's really nice. I've got several friends at work that's been, I've got a friend that I work with, a coworker that is a huge Braves fan, and they call it the Battery, which is where all the restaurants and everything is right outside the stadium in Atlanta. They say it is a great experience. Our friend Cheryl has been to Atlanta several times.
Truist Park.
Yeah. And she's been to a Braves game and she said that the Battery area there's a lot of hotels walking distance. You can walk to the game, spend the evening at the game and then walk back to your hotel. I would love to do that.
Oh, it's pretty.
It's very pretty, very big. It's fairly new from what I understand. So yeah, that's definitely something I would like to do.
Wander Dome is what this thing calls it, but it's called Truist Park. But yeah, look at all the shops and stuff. Yeah. Oh, it's pretty.
They say that you can actually just go to I think it's called the Battery area, mm-hmm. which is outside the stadium. Mm-hmm. They say that there's bars and restaurants that you can just, there's plenty of jumbotrons to watch the game. You don't even have to go into the game and you can have a really good experience. But that, you know, since we're going to be going that way in May, I think I did look to see that they are playing maybe San Diego while we're there for that wedding that weekend.
Wow.
So that might be something we could, I think there are 3 days, I think San Diego's in town 3 days to play them whenever we're there for that wedding.
That's cool.
So that'd be kind of cool if we could work that out.
Yeah.
That'd be a new experience going to a professional baseball game.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. I like it.
Yep.
Well, thank you for joining me for a little podcast, even though you're off camera and tied up into the corner with duct tape on you.
Yeah. Well, no problem.
All right. So I'm going to wrap this up. thanks everybody who's watching and listening. And if you want to see more of Dolores, tell her, hey, get on camera. She loves to hear that.
Yeah, well, most definitely.
if you enjoyed this,
I'm the behind the scenes.
Behind the scenes, yeah.
Critic, and I listen to each one of your...
I think we're supposed to call that producer.
Producer, is that what it is? I'm one of those that I do listen to every one of your podcasts. And what do I usually say? Hey, on your last podcast, you and you're like, oh, geez, what?
I have a suggestion. Oh, gosh. Yeah, it's a lot easier unless you're the one doing it, right?
But at least you know I'm listening.
Yeah, yeah. Beats the alternative.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, thank you everybody who's listening and watching on YouTube and all that fun stuff. If you haven't yet, checked out the website, www.stuffiheard.com, and drop us a link. Tell us you heard us, you like us, whatever. Share with your friends. And as always,
cue the cow, baby.
There you go.
Cue the cow. Moo, baby.